the show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
That is we, and we are back. Once again, it is Bucket Strategy Investing. Coming up this hour, more money topics of the Brain Trust, more questions answered, more wisdom dispensed, if I may say so. I am Johnny Dean. We got the Professor Rick Plum standing by with me to address all of your money questions in both phone call and email form. So we'll get to both of those this hour, of course. We'll also get to more of your emails. I said that as they come in. A couple more from last hour, as I recall, and some of the ones that just found their way into the studio a few moments ago. So if you emailed us within the last couple hours, we'll try to get to it this hour. Lines are open. We're going to take your calls first. 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. 877-752-6637. Get your emails to us here in the studio. You go to wealthed.com. You find the link at the top that says find your answer, and we'll get to it this hour on the air. WealthEd, that's our website. That's where you'll also find blog posts, a bunch of audio, video, articles, etc. that we refer to on this program. Phone calls do take priority. So if you call right now, we'll get you up on the board. And we do have just a few lines open right now. Wealth education, that's what we do on the show. It's what we try to provide to you every day. And much of what you see and you hear on our program can be found at wealthed.com, as I mentioned a moment ago. You can also contact the Brain Trust off the air at their Lucia Capital Group phone number, 800-644-1150. You can give them a call. You meet with a Brain Trust advisor, go over your individual situation, get your bucket strategy going. Professor Plum is available, as are any of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group, 800-644-1150. That's the off-air number. On air, 877-PLANNER. We do have three lines open, I'm told. So it's 877-752-6637. We had some folks hanging on, and I think we have a pair of people hanging on right now. That's Tony and Yolanda in Las Vegas. Hi, folks.
Hi.
How you doing today?
Oh, good. Good. I just got a really simple, stupid question that I can't seem to find out the answer to.
Well, okay. We're here for you, whatever you need. Go right ahead.
Okay, honey. I'm 68. I collect Social Security. Regular old folks' Social Security adds up to about $16,000 a year. And then I worked at a factory for 28 years, so I get a measly little $4,800 a year from that retirement. Okay. Do I need to file an income tax return?
No. Not unless they've withheld some money or there's some other reason. You don't need to file it for an income tax because you don't owe any income tax.
I just didn't know if I was supposed to pay on that $4,800 pension.
No, I mean, you're a single individual, right?
Yeah.
You don't have to pay taxes unless your taxable income, your adjusted gross income is more than about $10,200, $10,300, a little bit more than that, actually, $11,000. Your taxable income.
And that excludes Social Security, right?
In your case, it does exclude Social Security.
Okay, great. Well, that's all I needed to know. I really appreciate the time. I've been trying to go online and ask questions and IRS, and they never answer. So.
Yeah, forget them. Call 877-PLANNER. We'll put you up on the board, and you get your questions answered here. Forget all that. Okay?
Now, that pension.
One second.
The pension was $4,800 a year, right? Not $4,800 a month.
No, a year.
Okay.
Pretty bad for 28 years, huh?
It's better than nothing.
That's for sure. Yep.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for the call, Yolanda.
Okay, bye, bro. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye now.
Yeah, at her income level, the Social Security that she's receiving is not taxable. None of it is taxable.
Okay, now let's explain why. Now you had said right away that she's not going to owe any income taxes.
Well, we have to first look and see whether or not any of the Social Security will be taxable. And so we have to look at the threshold for a single individual for their modified adjusted gross income. The threshold is $25,000. Well, the combination of both of those incomes doesn't reach $25,000. And the Magi doesn't even include all of the income that she's showing. So obviously it's less than $25,000, which means that none of the Social Security is taxable. So the only thing that would go on a tax return is in the column for adjusted gross income is the $4,800 from the pension. But we get, as a single individual, we get to write off $6,300 as a standard deduction. She gets to take another $1,550 because she's more than 65 years old, so her standard deduction is larger. And she gets to offset another $4,000 last year, for a personal exemption. So we're talking about $11,000, $12,000. The first $11,000 or $12,000 of her adjusted gross income isn't taxable. She's only got $4,800 on there because the Social Security is excluded. she's not going to owe any income taxes.
Yeah. Now, I'm trying to figure out how to phrase this. There are times, though, even with a lower income, where your Social Security could potentially be taxed, right?
If your Social Security is very large.
Yeah. So even if you don't have an income, I mean, if you have a low income, let's say, you know, you had less than this $12,000, you had like a $10,000 income, but mm-hmm. your Social Security happened to be
$40,000.
Yeah, up in the highest, $3,600 a month or something.
At that point, you would, in that rare example where you're at the super high end of the Social Security and you don't have a whole lot of other income, and you've got $10,000 of IRA distributions, pension, whatever, then we've got a little bit of an issue, but not much. No, at that level, we still don't have any taxes because of the way everything shakes out. A portion of the Social Security would show up in the adjusted gross income column, but not enough of it to add to the $10,000 to make it all taxable. So the determination is how much Social Security, how much other income. The more other income you have, the more likely that your Social Security, at least some part of it, will be taxable. The higher your Social Security is, with the more income, obviously, more of that Social Security will be taxable. But if you have a fairly low Social Security and a low other income, no, it's not going to be taxable.
Yeah.
But it is a sliding scale. So people will say, at what level will my income become taxable?
That depends.
It's all about you. How much in Social Security do you have? How much in other income do you have?
Yeah.
And it changes from year to year.
Oh, it does. In fact, this question is similar to, if I make more than $15,720 of income, how much of my Social Security am I going to lose? And the answer really depends on, how much Social Security do you actually have?
You can find out how much you're going to lose, because you could lose it all.
Well, yes, of course.
How much over that threshold, and were you under full retirement age for every month of the year? Because those are two different sets of tests.
Yeah, so if you have questions on that, give us a call, and we'll cover that in just a little while. 877-PLANNER. We were talking IRAs last hour, and I had an email that just came in on this within the last half hour or so. And this was from Daniel in California somewhere. Thanks for your answer on my last question. My next question is, when I retire this coming July, and before I roll my 401k, which is $450,000, to a traditional IRA, can I get $60,000 to pay the cost to refinance my house and get a monthly income from an IRA of $1,500? That's question one.
Wait a minute. So we have a total of $450,000.
Right. Once you get $60,000 to pay the cost of refinancing the house.
Okay. Well, you can take $60,000 out. It's going to be taxable. I don't know what your other incomes are, but it'll be taxable. So even after taxes, you may have $40,000, $45,000 left over, or you'll may owe $15,000 in taxes next year when you do your tax return. But you got $450,000. You need $60,000, you can get $60,000 out. But now you've only got $390,000, right?
Right. And he's saying, can I get a monthly income from the IRA of $1,500? Now, also, would it be possible to get 8% annual interest income on the leftover money in my IRA to cover my monthly withdrawals plus the fees associated on investing?
No.
I also understand that I have to pay 20% tax on my $60,000 plus 5% California tax. Is this true? Please advise.
No, that is not true. The 20% and the 5 are withholdings. They are a guess at what amount of taxes you're going to own. When you take money directly from a pension plan or a 401k or a qualified retirement plan at work, they're required to withhold 20%. That doesn't mean you owe 20%. It doesn't mean that you only owe 20%. You could owe a lot more or a lot less depending upon how much income you actually have. I could take $10,000 out of my IRA, my pension plan. I say give me 10, they give me 8, they send 2 to the government for withholding. That's 20%. If that 8 is the entire amount of income I have for the year, none of it is taxable. I'll file a tax return and get my $2,000 back from the government. But if that $10,000 comes out on top of my $50,000 a year pension, or my $100,000 a year pension, on top of my $40,000 of Social Security, on top of the interest and dividends and everything else that I'm making from the rest of my portfolio, then the tax is going to be a lot higher than 20%. And when I do my tax return and reconcile it, I'll end up paying a little bit more than that 20% number. That's just an arbitrary, flat withholding amount that they put in.
Yeah, and that's done on every withdrawal.
Yeah, from a distribution from a retirement plan. Now, can I get $18,000 a year out of $390,000 a year? That's about a 5% distribution. You can work your portfolio to be able to do that, not with guarantees, but with very high stability and some other things using the appropriate investment strategies. You can make that work. Your next question of, can I get an 8% rate of return with no risk to principal? No, not today. There is nothing that has an 8% cash flow that doesn't have some risk to it. How much risk depends on what you're doing, but there will be risk to it. It will either have the ability to go down in value. It's going to be illiquid, or it's going to have a lot of volatility one way or the other. It is not a guaranteed 8%. You're not going to get that. But can you get $1,500 a month out of, call it, almost $400,000? Yeah, I think you can.
If you're diversified. Yeah, if you're diversified properly, done correctly, meaning, you know, proper diversification. If you've only got, you know, that $390,000 in two stocks, it's probably...
Oh, that's a danger.
That's a danger, right. So it needs to be properly diversified.
Danger, Will Robinson.
Well, thank you. 877-PLANNER. We're going to come back with more Lost in Space when we come back. Rawhide. Let's just do our regular set. Just doing the show from behind some chicken wire, that's all.
I thought the beers were free.
Oh, no, no. We're going to take up a collection from the band. Okay, sorry about that. Now, welcome back to the program. If you don't know what we're talking about, watch the Blues Brothers and you'll figure it out. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, having some fun today as we do every day. And you can have some fun with the Brain Trust yourself, too. You want to meet the Brain Trust in person? Learn all about retirement income strategies? Well, you can do so at any one of the 2016 Retirement Income Strategies workshops presented, of course, by Lucia Capital Group. There are more coming up, just a few more. You want to check out where and when, you go to our website, wealthed.com, wealthed.com. There's a live events tab. You check, click on that, and you can sign up for them if we happen to be in a city where you're watching or listening. And if not, or if we've already been there, tell us you'd like us to come back. We're going to have another series coming up in the fall. But in the meantime, join us at any one of those workshops. Find out where we're going to be. You just go to wealthed.com, wealthed.com. We'd love to see you. In fact, speaking of those workshops, in just a little bit, I'm going to go over some of the questions that we've been getting from people at these workshops. They're not really generic questions, but they're sort of broad in scope. And I'm going to see if you can get your opinion on those, Professor Plum. We'll do that after the bottom of the hour. In the meantime, we do have some lines open, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R, 877-752-6637. We finally have some lines open. So give us a call at that 877-PLANNER number. Meantime, David in Paradise Valley, Arizona. Emails, by the way, wealthed.com, our website. David says, I turned 66 on October 14th, 2016. I have an 8-year-old daughter. I believe there are changes coming up with Social Security. So I just want to make sure that if I file for full retirement at age 66, my 8-year-old daughter will receive half of what I receive from Social Security. Are there any income issues that would prevent this? Thanks.
David, the changes did not affect what you are trying to accomplish. When you turn 66, you can start taking your benefit. If you want to keep working, you can keep working. You will not have any eligibility issues with your Social Security once you get to full retirement age. And once you start receiving a benefit, your disabled adult child should also be eligible for a benefit.
Well,
it's his 8-year-old daughter.
8-year-old, yeah.
Your 8-year-old daughter.
Your
dependent.
Yes.
Young child daughter,
yes,
should also receive a benefit, basically a retirement benefit from your work, equal to half of your age 66 benefit. Now, if your daughter goes out and gets a job earning more than $15,720, she will have an issue with the Social Security that she's receiving. But the income that you're receiving, because you're full retirement age, will not affect either one of your benefits. You will get 100% of your full retirement age benefit, 66. You're not trying to suspend it. You're just trying to get the benefit and then get the benefit for your daughter as well. Sounds like you're still working right now, which means that you can't get the benefit yet. But once you get 66, no retirement earnings test anymore. You can get your whole benefit because you're getting yours. Your daughter will be eligible for hers.
Yes, and the deadlines and all that stuff matter not a bit.
Not to him.
Not to him at all, because the deadline was the file and suspend. Now, even though he's not, you know, he 66, well beyond the deadline, he's not trying to do that. What he's trying to do is make sure that when he files for his Social Security, And I'm guessing he hasn't done so yet.
No, he's going to do it in October.
Yeah, in October, at full retirement age 66, that his 8-year-old daughter will receive half. And yes, none of that has changed whatsoever.
And also, if you have a spouse, even if they're under full retirement age, they may be eligible for a benefit as well because they're caring for the child that's also receiving a benefit from you.
Right. You didn't mention if you're married or not.
Child and care benefit.
Child and care benefit is another thing, yeah.
That assumes that your spouse is not working.
Correct. So if you want to email us back and give us some more information on that, we can maybe give you some better news, even better news. Okay, 877-PLANNER. We still have three lines open now, 877-752-6637. Back to the phones. Linda, next in Las Vegas. Linda, how can we help you today?
Yes, I have a question about getting a pension from work and taking several $100 deduction to leave it for my husband to inherit if I should pass before him. That he will be getting Social Security, and with my cut and his Social Security, we'd be making about the same amount. So if I leave it to him and I take the cut, then if he inherited it, he would lose his Social Security, or would he be able to have both?
He'll be able to have both. So what you're telling me is you have a pension, but you do not have Social Security. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, according to what I've heard, I won't get any Social Security because of my pension.
Okay, so you work for the state or the city?
Correct. Well, I have a state pension, yes.
Right.
I would.
Did you ever work in a Social Security FICA tax-covered employment?
Oh, yes.
And do you have a projected Social Security benefit? Do you know what it looks like?
My own benefit would be only, maybe $300 or $400.
Okay. So you've got this you've got this nice pension from work where you did not pay into Social Security. And you're worried that if you leave that to your husband, he will lose his Social Security just like you're losing part of your Social Security. Is that what I'm hearing right?
Right.
And I've got good news for you. I've got really good news for you, Linda. It will not affect his Social Security at all. Even though he gets your pension, and your pension was from work, not covered by Social Security, he didn't earn it. You earned it, so it affects you, but it doesn't affect him. Why? Because Congress said so. He will be able to receive the exact same pension, but he didn't earn the pension, so his is just more like a survivor benefit. He'll get the pension, and he will continue to receive his 100% of his Social Security, whatever he's getting.
Oh, then it would make it worth it to me to take the few hundred dollars cut, because...
It'll make it worth it to him more than to you.
Right. Well, yeah. Okay. All right, I appreciate that.
Okay,
Linda,
thank you for the call.
It's a little quirk in the government pension offset windfall elimination provision.
Explain this.
Her Social Security benefit is affected because she has work not covered by Social Security. The spousal and or survivor benefit that she would be eligible for from his Social Security will be affected by her pension from work not covered by Social Security.
Probably be wiped out.
Probably. But his Social Security, if he starts receiving her pension as a survivor, it won't have an impact on it.
And the reason is because?
Because he didn't earn it.
Right. It's not considered his pension.
Yeah. It was her pension. She earned it. It causes problems with everything she's entitled to from either her own work record or from his work record, but it doesn't go the other way.
Well,
it will not affect his Social Security.
And it makes sense to me, because if you're a married couple, and in this case, say the wife gets the pension, I mean, you're both, in essence, getting the pension, I would assume.
Well, he earned it by using community money that they were earning to pay into it. So, I mean, you can make an argument both ways on this.
You could, but the fact is that
but let's not. Let's make sure that he gets everything.
Because, honestly, they don't want you to have money. It has nothing to do with taxes. They just don't want you to have
it. It's harder for them to control us when we have our own money.
If you have money, that's true. If you have money, you rely less on them.
Yeah. But luckily for Linda, if she leaves a survivor benefit from her pension, which was not covered by Social Security, to her husband, and unfortunately she passes away before him, he'll get the pension and all of his Social Security.
Very quickly, she's getting like $300 a month or something, whatever she said. Her windfall elimination could eliminate her?
No, it could only cut it by about half.
Yeah, by about half. So she'd still get something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. All right, questions on this? Anything else? Give us a call. Lines open, 877-PLANNER, Bucket Strategy Investing. We'll get to some more of your emails in just a bit. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group. It's Bucket Strategy Investing, talking to you about your money, strategy, all that stuff. So if you've got questions, we got some lines open right now for you, 877-PLANNER, 877-752-6637. That, of course, spelled out PLANNER, naturally, as I just said. Give us a call. As I said, a few lines open right now. Before we get to the next couple of emails, I said that we have some workshops coming up. You might want to check those out. And some of the questions that we get, Professor Plum, are more broad in scope. And so what I've done is taken some of these questions that people have written out at the workshops, and I'm just going to present them to you because cases like this do come up when you're talking about retirement income and strategies and challenges and all that stuff. So one of the questions from a while back was this. Do people really spend less in retirement than they do during their working years? What have you seen?
That's kind of an open-ended question. A lot of people will spend more than they thought in the earlier years of retirement while they're active and healthy and they can do a lot of things. Typically, the grandkids are a little younger and they still want to be part of their lives. And then as they get older in their late 70s, 80s, and beyond, they start spending less, with the exception of the last couple years of life where healthcare kicks in and it gets a little expensive. But for the most part, a lot of people we see, once they've made the transition from working years into retirement, the income that they need, barring some unforeseen issue like having to help out kids pay their mortgage and things, the income stays fairly static. It doesn't grow by leaps and bounds. It doesn't necessarily grow by the CPI. Yes, the inflation does have an effect on the things that they're buying, but they tend to buy less things. They don't go out to dinner as much. And when they do go out to dinner, they eat smaller meals. Or they go out at 4 o'clock to the local buffet.
Right.
You know, they typically don't drive as much. And if they are, they're downsizing from two cars to one car. And they don't buy new cars every third, fourth year. They keep their cars longer. Their clothes, they keep longer. They're still wearing the clothes from the 80s.
You tend to become, I guess, a little bit more thrifty in many
but
respects.
But I don't think it's a conscious choice to become thrifty. You just don't do it.
You just don't. Exactly. It's not like during your working years. Now, many strategies, and the bucket strategy can be set up this way if you prefer. Many strategies, when they say taking a certain amount of out of your portfolio, they try to give you a little bit of a raise for inflation every year. Well, so they allow for, you know, maybe a 2%.
2 or 3%.
Raise every year, which means that if you need $60,000 when you're 60 years old, I mean, if you kept adding, call it 3% for inflation every single year, by the time you're 90, instead of, you know, needing $60,000 a year, you're up how much?
You start at 60?
Yeah, so 30 years later.
At 60 years old?
60 years old. Yeah.
$146,000.
So my question would be, even 30 years of inflation, does somebody who's 90 really need to get a 3% raise every single year?
Well, and most of the time, I've never had anybody call me on January 2nd and say, hey, CPI last year was 2.7%, so increase my distribution by 2.7%. Or I've calculated my expenses and I need X amount more because the CPI said my expenses should be X amount more. I've never had anybody call me and say and do that. So it's not that much of an issue. What we see is from time to time, and it depends on how much inflation we actually have, that over a series of years, it'll be like, you know what? That distribution you were giving me just doesn't seem to go as far as it used to. My medical expenses are a little higher than they used to be. So can we increase the distribution by, you know, $100, $200, $300, or whatever the number might be? That's where we see most of it. But almost all of the different distribution patterns that we've created for trying to analyze whether a portfolio will work or not has some form of inflation component in it. But I still think it's an important thing to have because there is that one expense that is going to go up. Maybe other expenses go down. And when we look at historical spending habits of elderly individuals, most every spending category does go down with the exception of that one, healthcare.
Yeah, and healthcare
that goes up.
Yeah, it goes up, and it goes up by quite a bit normally, as we said, especially toward the end of life, I guess. So anyway, if you're putting your retirement plan together, spending does not necessarily go up or down in retirement. Obviously, everybody's situation is different. Okay, 877-PLANNER, our number. We've got a few more of these, and then I'll save them for other segments or other shows. Let's move back to the phone lines, 877-752-6637. Las Vegas, Janet is next. Hi, Janet.
Hi. Okay, I have a question about Social Security. My understanding was that when my husband passes, he's in an Alzheimer home. We worked very hard all our lives, and now our savings are gone for him in the home. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, I have a concern. My understanding was that I get his Social Security when he passes because mine's $733 a month, and I do get a small pension of close to $300 in addition to that. So I didn't know if I had to also add that on. And is it accurate that I thought I could get up to $1,900, which would take his and mine. So what is correct?
How much is his Social Security benefit?
$1,259.
Okay. I'm not going to give you the best of news. Now, the $300 a month pension that you're receiving, is that from a city, state, public, you know, government agency, or is it from just...
It's from... I worked for Albertsons. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right, hey, so that's good.
I worked for Alpha Beta back in the day.
So. Oh, okay. All right.
So you will not have any issue with the pension. You will still receive your pension.
Okay.
But unfortunately, you will only receive the higher of the two Social Security benefits. You do not get to stack them on top of each other. You will take whichever one is better. So obviously your husband's benefit is higher at the $1,259. So you would receive the $1,259 and the $300 a month from your pension, but you would not continue to receive your own Social Security. It would go away in favor of the higher survivor benefit.
Oh, okay. So we struggle. Okay. Yeah. All people come in and they get all these free things, and then we have to still struggle. So, okay. Well, I'm frugal, so I'll probably be able to, because my goal was to pay our home off the day we got married. We were married 60 years, and when I came to Las Vegas in 86, we paid our home off, so I don't have that payment, thank goodness. So,
do you have, just out of curiosity, does he have life insurance or anything like that, Janet?
No, our savings, we worked so hard, and we were frugal. We didn't do a lot. We loved our home. We worked around our yard, and so that, you know, $36,000 this past year, so it's cost me. So at some point, it will end, because then I'll go on Medicaid, which they don't make it easy, but they'll have to take over.
Is your home paid for right now? Did you say?
Yeah. Now listen, I just went through that. You're a guy. I just went through that with you.
No, I understand, but you haven't. I understand you've been there since 86. What is the home worth, just out of curiosity?
I think now, I mean, I haven't been looking at the real, we moved in here in 1990. So I suspect, we paid $89,000 when we moved in. I think they're $179,000, something like that.
Okay.
It's a ballpark.
Well, I mean, Professor Plum, that could be a possible source of revenue if she wants, she could.
It's not maybe not the most popular thing for a lot of people, but she could do a reverse mortgage for some amount of money at some point if she really needed the money, because that there is equity in the house. She's over 62 years of age. She can do a reverse mortgage for some portion. She'll never have to make a payment against it, and she would have a little extra money.
Yeah. Hey, Janet, thank you for the call. If you have any other questions, hold on. Just as a possible source of revenue was the only thing, and I understand.
Right.
You know, you work all those years. She's married 60 years. Husband looks like it's not going to last long. She's going to take a $733 a month
income
to the household.
Right,
and that's tough to deal with.
But she is currently paying out of pocket a certain amount of income, and she's using whatever savings they have now. If he's on Medicaid, they will be able to keep up to maybe $120,000, $110,000 worth of assets without having to spend it down. So they she should still have some assets available. And the house would be exempt, so she doesn't have to spend that down. So there will be some assets left over, it's just that she's going to lose some income.
Yeah, which now to
a
me...
A chunk of income.
Yeah, to me, I mean, this may be where something like a reverse mortgage could perhaps work.
Well, and it depends on what her expenses are going to be. Unfortunately, after her husband passes away, a lot of her expenses may go away, because the cost of the nursing home, the cost of the Alzheimer's, all the things, the out-of-pocket expense may go down, and she may be able to live comfortably with a paid-off house and $1,500 a month.
Perhaps. But again, she had said that all the money went into this.
Well, all of it won't go into the care unless she's trying to do it
without.
She's lost
a good chunk of it.
The most they can make her spend down is about $100,000, a little over, to, she can keep $100,000 if she has it.
Yeah. Okay, well, there's your answer. All right, 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER, 877-752-6637. We got a little bit of room on the phones. We got some trivia, and we've got emails and more of your phone calls coming up. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. Bucket Strategy Investing, that's the program. Talk to you about your money, about buckets, about strategy, whatever it is, whatever's on your mind, Social Security. We're here to talk to you about it, your strategies, and maybe some potential solutions for you. I think for the most part, for some of the people who have called today so far, Professor Plum, and a lot of great calls today, we have had good news for people. Maybe not so much with our last caller, Janet, but...
Yeah, unfortunately, she's going to receive a little less money than she thought she was going to receive when her husband passes.
And I'll just say one more time that we didn't ask how old she is, but she'd been married. She was married 60 years. I'm putting her, 80.
Well, at least 70.
Yeah, and I would put her probably close to 80.
So she's over full retirement age.
Well, she's over full retirement age, but what I'm getting at is, at her age, I said this before the break, when you take a $733 a month cut, as she's going to do once her husband passes away, and there's no life insurance involved, to me, it is a great opportunity for her to use perhaps her home equity and make up some of that.
If she's run out of other assets. I do still look at it as somewhat of a last resort, because there is upfront expenses with it, there's a cost to it, and if we have other assets, it's a better deal. It's a better deal to wait.
Yeah, although if I'm suspecting she's in her 80s, I mean...
How long are you going to wait?
Yeah, frankly.
Depends on what her lifestyle needs to be.
And it sounded to me like she didn't have a whole lot of extra assets anyway.
But she said she was also happy staying around the house and doing things on the house, at least she was while she and her husband could do it together.
Yeah,
And, with a paid-off house and the money she's got coming in, she may be able to live comfortably without the added expense of the health care that
Could
she's going
well
through right now.
Could very well be. Yeah, she shall see. Okay, 877-PLANNER. Before I get to the next email here, I had a little bit of trivia. This from the Social Security Administration. 35% of American males and 40% of American female types elect to take their Social Security retirement benefits at age 62. Which, of course, is the earliest age that you have access. I don't know. I've seen different figures on this. This comes right from Social Security. So right at age 62, 35%. Now, as I understand, as I recall, that's down from what it was even 10 years ago,
yeah.
When it was somewhere up in the 40s. For the men, yeah. And I don't really know why.
I think a lot of people are working longer, which means they can't take it at 62. And some, but I think most of it's because of work. But some people are actually choosing to wait to take it because they want to have the benefit grow more.
Yeah, that's my guess, too. But then again, we won't talk about it now, but there was an article that was written somewhere. I think I saw it in Yahoo or somewhere. 8 of the biggest financial moves you can make that you'll regret forever. You've seen this.
Uh-huh.
And one of them had to do with taking Social Security early. Talk about generic advice.
And so that means that those 42% of women that took it at 62, by that definition, were completely wrong, when reality is they probably did the right thing, because traditionally the benefit for a lady is a little bit smaller than a benefit for a man because of the work experience. And the lady will step up to the man's, to the male's benefit when he dies first. So well, it's better for them to take it early.
There you go, all you ladies out there. Okay, William in Jackson, Tennessee. I have a 403B at work. I rolled over part of it to a different fund company. When I become subject to required minimum distributions, will I have to withdraw from both the rollover and my 403B, or can I withdraw the full amount from one or the other?
Well, if you rolled it over to a different fund company, but still under the same employer's 403B, it's still the same 403B. So, but if at retirement, if you rolled it to, it was a previous company's 403B, and you rolled it over to an IRA, now you've got an IRA and a 403B. They require separate required minimum distributions. And the reality is, when you get out to age 70, unless that 403B, one or the other one, has a benefit, an income, an asset in it that you can't get outside in an IRA, you're probably going to roll it to an IRA anyway. But if it's with the same employer, it's a 403B. It's not the account. It's the employer that runs this.
Well, it sounds like it is, because you said he rolled over part of it to a different fund company. I suspect because he found some asset or investment that he liked a little bit more at the other fund company.
And he does say, I have a 403B at work, not at my former job.
Yes.
So it sounds like he's still working for the same employer. So it should be the same 403B employer. So it's okay. You can take it from either one.
Okay. William, there you go. Now, that was William in Jackson, Tennessee. Let's shift over to William in Philadelphia, PA. I have GPO issues, government pension offsets. At age 67, my Social Security should be $765. With the offset, it says I'll lose $395.50 because of my birth year, 1951, and when I turn 63. Will this number stay the same no matter what age I apply for Social Security?
Well, the birth year doesn't have anything to do with the GPO. When you turn 65, 66, 67, doesn't have anything to do with the directive issue of the GPO. The government pension offset is an issue because you have a pension from work not covered by Social Security. And it doesn't matter. It's a dollar amount reduction, not a percentage. The windfall elimination provision is based on a percentage. So it has a different effect on your benefit depending upon whether you take it at 62 or 70 or in between. The government pension offset is a dollar reduction. The reduction is two-thirds of your pension. So it's if you take your Social Security early, you take a reduction in your Social Security. But then if your government pension offset is $395, you lose another $395. If you wait until age 70 to take your Social Security, it's going to be increased by 32%. And then the windfall elimination provision is $395, two-thirds of your pension. So the government pension offset is a dollar amount of reduction. The windfall elimination provision, which this actually sounds more
doesn't
like
that
the
sound like it is, yeah.
This sounds more like the windfall elimination provision, which is you have a pension from work not covered by Social Security, and you have paid into Social Security through other employment, and so the windfall elimination provision is affecting your Social Security, not the Social Security I get from somebody else's work record. And that one is not a constant dollar amount depending upon when you take your benefit. It changes the full retirement age benefit. So if I was supposed to receive, $800 a month, I may only receive $400 a month. So I had a discount. But then I'm going to take a reduction in my benefit for taking it early. It won't be as big of a reduction because it's a percentage reduction rather than a dollar-for-dollar reduction. The impact is on the primary insurance amount, the full retirement age benefit, and then they apply the early or late retirement factor to that number.
Yeah, the windfall elimination provision has to do with your own benefit. The government pension offset has to do with you taking a benefit off of somebody else's work record. Okay, out of time for this hour. If you need more help with the Brain Trust, you want to learn more about anything we've talked about this hour, or just talk to Professor Plum and see how his day is going, you can talk to him at Lucia Capital Group at 800-644-1150. That is the off-air number. That's all the time we have for Professor Rick Plum. I'm Johnny Dean. This is Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, as the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.